This is Nick Ravelis, the Geisel Director of Education and Outreach for San Diego Opera. In the next few minutes, we're going to explore San Diego Opera's 2011 international season together and find out what is truly great about these four operas: Puccini's Turandot, Strauss's Der Rosenkavalier, Gounod's Faust, and Bizet's Carmen. It's a fantastic season full of great melody, wonderful singing, terrific stories, and brilliant spectacle. All the things that we love about opera. So let's get started. What you're listening to is the opening of Giacomo Puccini's final opera. Not the kind of music that we usually associate with this master of melody, but this jarring, almost startling music ushers us into the world of a very dark story. It's the tale of a Chinese princess who, because of the rape and murder of an ancient ancestor by an enemy horde, has vowed never to marry. Because of her beauty, royal suitors from all over the world come to woo her, but she protects herself with riddles. If they can't answer them successfully, they not only fail in their quest for her hand in marriage, they're beheaded. This is one dangerous lady, but the story has all the hallmarks of a fairy tale written to try to understand and probe the human condition. Who of us doesn't put up barriers to successful relationships or protect our vulnerability by testing the people who love us? I think that's what Turandot is all about. And when finally a young prince named Khalaf comes to Peking, determined to have her as his bride, the opera becomes a story of courage in the face of impossible odds. One of the glories of the score of Turandot is the choral music. I especially love this moment. Listen to the people of Peking as they watch the moon rise and liken it to the severed head of a prince who's just failed the riddle test and faces the executioner. The moment ends with an actual quote from an ancient Chinese folk tune sung by a children's chorus. It's interesting, Puccini did quite a bit of research into Chinese melodies, just as he researched Japanese melodies for Madama Butterfly, and he was able to come up with a number of them to use in the opera for a more authentic feel. But he also simply utilized the five-note, what we call the pentatonic scale, which is the foundation for many Chinese melodies, in order to capture a kind of all-purpose Asian atmosphere. Take, for instance, this lovely aria for Liu, the servant girl to Prince Caliph's father, whom he discovers here in the crowd in Peking. In Signore Ascolta, Liu, who loves Caliph unselfishly, begs him to reconsider his intention to enter the contest for Turandot's hand. The vocal line that the soprano sings, in this case, Montserrat Caballé, is entirely pentatonic. Certainly the moment that everyone knows and loves in this opera is the aria Nessun Dorma, sung by Caliph at the beginning of the third and final act. The tenor Luciano Pavarotti made this aria famous by the sheer passion and color of his performance, and it became a kind of anthem for world soccer competitions. Here's an excerpt from the aria as sung by Pavarotti as the prince, who knows that his quest for Turandot's love will be victorious. The climactic moment in the opera is certainly the riddle scene, which begins with Turandot's aria, In Questa Reggia, in which she explains the reasons for her refusal to marry and her hatred of men. Often called the Mount Everest of soprano arias, it certainly is a difficult climb over a wide range of notes and emotions, making huge demands on the singer at every moment. Let's listen to Birgit Nilsson and Franco Corelli in the riddle scene. Magnificent production of Turandot, designed by famed British artist David Hockney, will open on January 29, 2011, with soprano Lisa Lindstrom, who recently made a critically acclaimed debut in this role at the Met, as Turandot, and tenor Carlo Ventre, who has sung at such theaters as La Scala, Washington National Opera, and San Francisco Opera, as Prince Khalaf. You don't want to miss Puccini's Turandot.
Thank you.
The next opera in our season will be Richard Strauss's Der Rosenkavalier, an opera that was a popular hit in its first production and which will be celebrating its 100th anniversary in 2011. Yes, for 100 years, this charming and touching human comedy has been delighting audiences with indelible characters like the Marschallin, an 18th century Viennese princess in love with a much younger man, and Baron Ox, her boorish country cousin who, although a member of the nobility, has never quite caught on to the niceties of courtly etiquette. There are, too, the beautiful young Sophie, who is about to be engaged to the loutish Baron Ox, and the handsome Octavian, who, although in love with the Marschallin in the first act, meets Sophie in Act Two and falls head over heels in love. Rounded out by Strauss's luscious score, this is a glittering evening of entertainment. Listen, for instance, to this moment, the presentation of the rose in Act Two. Octavian has been pressed into service to be the Rosenkavalier, the bearer of the traditional silver rose on behalf of Baron Ox to the young Sophie von Faninal. This is the first moment he lays eyes on her. Listen to the lead-up to the moment, and then the exquisite music that Strauss creates for what is pure magic. This music is typical of Der Rosenkavalier, brilliantly orchestrated, filled with lovely little melodies that seem to appear from nowhere and then open up like a flower. But what about the vocal lines? Well, it's difficult to come up with excerpts because this is what you might call a through-composed opera. There's very little stopping and starting for formal arias and ensembles, although they do exist. We just move seamlessly and continuously from one dramatic and comic moment to another. But let me try to give you an idea of the kind of singing we have in this opera by going to the opening scene. We're in the Marschallin's bedroom. It's close to dawn, and she and Octavian have just experienced an evening of lovemaking. Their cooing and sweet whispering of their pet names for each other as they awaken in each other's arms to the sounds of birds chirping in the garden is perfectly captured in this rapturous music. And by the way, this is a female singer, a mezzo-soprano, singing the role of a young man as Octavian, yet another way for Strauss and his librettist von Hofmannsthal to tweak the sensibilities of their audience. Women singing the roles of men has long been a tradition in opera, but it was beginning to go out of vogue in 1911 when suddenly Strauss pulls it forcefully back into practice with this stunning yet difficult role. Let's listen to Kyrie Kanawa as the Marschallin and Anna Sophie von Otter as Octavian. Thank you. Strauss really captures the mood, the atmosphere of breaking dawn in this Viennese boudoir as the two lovers revel in their brimming over of emotions. And the tune that wells up in the orchestra when the Marschallin tells Octavian, "Ich hab dich lieb," I love you, is just sumptuous. There are more traditional moments, though, such as this Italian aria that suddenly appears in the middle of the first act as the Marschallin is receiving visitors during her morning levee. Who should show up but the latest Italian tenor with an aria designed to entertain and delight the princess as she gets dressed, bewigged, and ready for her day? But this isn't just any aria. It's a high-lying, death-defying apotheosis of an aria with endless but beautiful phrases. Listen to Richard Leitch, tenor, sing this.
Oh.
Gorgeous music, simply gorgeous. Strauss just simply gets it right, and he's right again at the end of the opera when the Marschallin, realizing that her beloved Octavian has fallen in love with Sophie, a much more appropriate choice for him given his age, must make the decision as to whether to fight for him or let him go. This initiates the great trio, one of the most beloved and beautiful ensembles in all opera. Let's listen to just a bit of it. And believe me, I hate to have to excerpt it because it's just too long for my purposes here, but even a few moments of this trio is enough to send me, and hopefully you, to heaven. All three characters, the Marschallin, Octavian, and Sophie, sing from the depths of their souls about youth, about love, and about sacrifice. Listen to Kyrie Kanawa, Anna Sophie von Otter, and Barbara Hendricks. Strauss's masterpiece Der Rosenkavalier will open at San Diego Opera on April 3, 2001, a Sunday at 2 p.m., with performances on the following Wednesday, April 6th, Saturday, April 9th, and Tuesday, April 12th. Starring in the role of the Marschallin will be the celebrated soprano Anya Hartaros, her debut in the role, along with bass Ferruccio Furlanetto in his debut as Baron Ox, mezzo-soprano Anke von Dung as Octavian, and soprano Patrizia Cioffi as Sophie. All four of these singers have sung at the greatest opera houses in the world, the Met, Covent Garden, Vienna, Paris, and of course, La Scala. This is a once-in-a-lifetime cast, so get your tickets now. Everyone who knows this opera waits for the devil to appear, and that is the character of Mephistopheles in the opera Faust by Charles Gounod. We just had his wonderful opera Romeo and Juliet in the 2010 season, and we're following close behind with this staggeringly popular hit, once the best-known and best-loved opera in the world. In fact, this work opened the old Metropolitan Opera House because at that point in the late 1800s, there was no question that this exquisite French opera should have the honor of being the very first piece presented in the hall. It is, of course, based on the epic verse drama of Goethe, a story about an old alchemist, Dr. Faustus, who sells his soul to the devil in order to experience sublime youth and pleasure again. The devil appears to him in the form of Mephistopheles, turning him miraculously into a young man after showing him a vision of the young and beautiful Marguerite and extracting a promise to serve the devil later on in hell. With that, the young Faust pursues the girl, whose brother Valentin is about to go to war and is very protective of his sister. In this wonderful aria for baritone, sung here by Thomas Hampson, he instructs his friends to watch over her in his absence. That's just the beginning of some of the great tunes in this opera. Listen to Marguerite's aria from Act 3, the Jewel Song. She sings this in response to a gift of jewels that she finds inexplicably placed outside her cottage, reveling in their beauty and how they would look if she wore them. This is soprano Cheryl Studer. Faust, too, gets some wonderful music, also from Act 3, in an aria where he sings about the beauty and purity of Marguerite as he gazes upon her home in the forest. This is one of the great French arias for tenor, sung here by Piotr Bechawa. But the opera really belongs to the devil in the form of Mephistopheles. He exerts his power over the other characters in Act Two at the fairgrounds of the town. He appears mysteriously and begins singing a blasphemous song about the golden calf. If you listen carefully, you'll hear a parody of the carol Angels We Have Heard on High before the refrain, something that not only scandalizes the characters on stage, but that surely pushed a few buttons for folks in the audience on that March evening in 1859 when Faust was first premiered. Listen to José Van Damme sing this wonderful aria. Mephistopheles has another evil moment in the fourth act when he satirizes a lover beneath Marguerite's window singing a serenade, an aria that triggers a challenge from Valentin, resulting in his death in a duel with Faust. Again, we hear José Van Damme. Catherine, que j'adore, pourquoi refuser? Pourquoi refuser à l'âme qui vous implore? Pourquoi refuser le sud-baiser? Et si ton galant supplie, ton galant supplie, et ton galant croit. Me donne un baiser, ma mie, que la main au Many composers of this period realized that if they saved their best melodies for the final act, people would leave the theaters humming the tunes. They'd buy the sheet music in order to perform them at home and would possibly buy tickets to come back and see the opera again. Gounod is no exception, as he provides this noble melody which climaxes the opera in a trio between Faust, Marguerite, and Mephistopheles. Here we hear again Van Damme, Studer, and tenor Richard Leitch. Gounod's Faust will open on April 23rd, 2011. In the cast, we'll have the return of the spectacular young couple who sang in Gounod's Romeo and Juliet in the 2010 season, tenor Stephen Costello and soprano Eileen Perez, along with our favorite bass baritone Greer Grimsley as Mephistopheles, a characterization to really look forward to.
Señor, señor, car avec les soldats. Mille parmenos, peuvent s'entendre. Pour plaisir, ils ont les combats. Le cirque est plein, c'est jour de fête. Le cirque est plein, il en va. Les spectateurs, perdent la tête.
And here's the opera that has more known tunes than any other, Georges Bizet's Carmen, which first saw the light of day at the Opéra Comique in Paris in 1875. It wasn't a successful beginning, probably because the patrons of the Comique were used to much more family-friendly fare and were scandalized by the presence of gypsies, loose-living women, realistic violence on stage, and characters, heaven forbid, smoking. But soon it caught on, eventually becoming one of the most beloved operas of all time. Its popularity can be measured by the number of entries for its melodies in the International Movie Database, or IMDb, which counts in the hundreds. The opera itself begins one of those great melodies in the prelude. Not long afterwards, we have Carmen's entrance aria as this gypsy cigarette girl decides to seduce the soldier Don José and hovers around him like a bird of prey. Let's listen to the wonderful mezzo-soprano Tatiana Troyanos sing the Habanera. Again, a few moments later, we get this seguidilla melody as Carmen uses her seductive wiles to free herself from arrest. Again, Troyanos.
Thank you.
But there are a few less commercial moments in the opera that need to have their day as well. There is, for instance, this lovely aria for Micaela, Don José's childhood sweetheart who brings him a message from his mother who still lives in the little village where they both grew up. Micaela is a typical opera comique character, a character that the audience in 1859 would have been extremely familiar with. Pretty, prayerful, a good girl who's gotten herself mixed up with a bad boy. It's lovely music, but essentially lyrical, a far cry from the Dionysian music given to Carmen, who stomps and dances her way through the opera like a dervish. Here's an excerpt from Micaela's aria, sung by Mirella Freni. I think, though, that the most interesting character in the opera is Don José, who moves psychologically from an essentially lyrical character in Act 1 to an obsessed demon by Act 4. Listen to this flower song, which he sings to Carmen in Act 2, when he thinks that he can actually win her over to something akin to a stable relationship. This is Plácido Domingo. Get to Act 3, Don José's music is angular, violent, and all over the map. We see him, literally see him, disintegrate before our eyes, something that is perfectly captured in his wonderful music. But it's the baritone who gets away with the most famous melody, the Toreador song, which introduces him to the crowd at the tavern of Lilas Pastia, and first gives Carmen an alternative upon whom she can shower her charms. Here is José Van Damme, baritone.
Oh.
It's interesting to me that Bizet had to add this famous number to the opera at the behest of the administration of the Comique because he hadn't given the baritone an aria. Bizet resisted the idea up until the last minute and then gave him this stunning piece, something that baritones, I'm sure, have been thanking him for ever since. Sung well, it can easily steal the show away from everyone else in the opera. Bizet's Carmen opens on May 14th. The stars of this production will be mezzo-soprano Nino Surgoladze, who is sung at the Teatro Real in Madrid, Covent Garden, and La Scala, as well as the tenor Salvatore Licitra, who has sung at the Met, Chicago Lyric Opera, and at the Vienna State Opera. Our Escamillo will be baritone Wayne Tigges, who has sung at Chicago Lyric, Los Angeles Opera, and the Teatro Liceo in Barcelona. An exciting cast for an exciting opera, one that we always look forward to seeing again. So that's it, the 2011 international season. Puccini's Turandot, Strauss's Der Rosenkavalier, Gounod's Faust, and Bizet's Carmen, all ready for you to enjoy here at the San Diego Civic Theater downtown. Go to our website, sdopera.com, to choose your own seats and print your own tickets, or call our special box office number, 619-533-7000. That's 619-533-7000 to get a subscription and buy the best seats available. Don't miss the most exciting season ever, a season where you'll hear your favorite all-time melodies sung by some of your favorite singers. That's it for me. I'm Nick Ravellis, and I'll see you at the opera.